Now we have the third speaker for today, Dr. Zakir Naik, to speak on concept of God in Islam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يقل له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي Chairperson Dr. Muhammad Swami Golakananda Father Gio, the learned people on the dais, my respected elders, and my dear brothers and sisters. I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty Allah be on all of you. The topic of today's symposium or interfaith dialogue organized by the Salafi Learning and Research Center is Religion in the Right Perspective. Religion, according to the Oxford Dictionary, means a belief in a superhuman controlling power, a personal God or gods that deserve worship and obedience. Therefore, the main theme of today's symposium is concept of God in various religions. And I have been asked by the organizers to speak on concept of God in Islam. Islam comes from the root word salam, which means peace. It also means submitting your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Almighty God. So in short, Islam means peace acquired by submitting your will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any person who submits his will to Almighty God is called as a Muslim. Regarding the concept of God in Islam, the best answer that any Muslim can give you is quote the Holy Quran, the surah I quoted in the beginning of my talk, that is Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 1-4, which says, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say He is Allah one and only. Allahu samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing like him. This is a four-line definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God, which is given in the Holy Quran. If any candidate who claims that he is Almighty Allah, if he passes these four tests of Surah Ikhlas, we Muslims have got no objection in accepting that person as God Almighty. The first test is, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say He is Allah one and only. The second is, Allahu samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Third is, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is he begotten. And the fourth is, Walam yaqul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing like him. If anyone claims that so and so candidate is Almighty Allah or Almighty God, if he fits in this four-line definition, we Muslims have got no objection in accepting that candidate as God Almighty. There are some people in the world, for example, who say that Bhagwan Rajneesh, he is Almighty God. Osho Rajneesh, he is Almighty God. Let's put any candidate who they claim to be Almighty God to the test of the Holy Quran of Surah Ikhlas, chapter 112, verse number 1-4. First test is, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say He is Allah one and only. Is Rajneesh one and only? We know that there are several such fake God-men throughout the world, especially in our country, India, who say that they are God Almighty. So surely, there is not only one man who is claiming to be God Almighty. There are several. The second is, Allahu Samad. Allah the absolute and eternal. Almighty God. you should be absolute and eternal. Is Rajneesh absolute and eternal? We know when we read his biography that he was suffering from asthma, from diabetes mellitus, from chronic backache. And he claimed that the American government gave him slow poisoning in the jail. Imagine, God Almighty be slow poisoning. Do we believe in such a God? Third test is, Lam Yilin Balam Yulad. He begets not, nor is begotten. We know that Rajneesh was born in Jabalpur. He had a father and his mother, who later on became his own disciples. He was begotten. This man, Rajneesh, he took America for a ride. He took several Americans for a ride. He went to Oregon and started his own Rajneeshpuram. And later on, when he was kicked out from America, he came to Pune and started his own Osho commune. But when you go to Pune, there, when you enter the Rajneesh Osho commune, you find a black stone written there that Bhagwan Rajneesh, Osho Rajneesh, never born, never died, but visited the earth from the 11th of December 1931 to the 19th of January 1990. They forgot to mention that he was not given visas to 21 different countries of the world. Imagine God Almighty coming to visit the world and is not allowed to enter 21 different countries. Do we believe in such a God? And the Archbishop of Greece said that if you don't take out Rajneesh from the country of Greece, we will burn his house and the house of his disciples. Put any candidate who says that is God Almighty to test. And if he passes the test, we Muslims agree that candidate to be Almighty Allah. The last test, the fourth test, is so stringent that no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, can pass the test. It says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is nothing like him. Suppose someone says that Almighty God is 1,000 times as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger. You might have heard the name of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the person who had the title Mr. Universe, the strongest man in the universe, the strongest man in the world. Suppose someone says that Almighty God is 1,000 times as strong as Arnold Schwarzenegger. The moment you can compare Almighty God to anyone, whether it be 1,000 times or whether it be 1,000,000 times, whether it be with Arnold Schwarzenegger or Dara Singh or King Kong, the moment you can compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to anything, he is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is nothing like him. This is the four-line definition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a nutshell, which is given in the Holy Quran. There are various other religions who believe in the theory of anthropomorphism. That means, Almighty God, he takes form. And these religions, they have a beautiful logic. That Almighty God is so holy, he's so pure, that how will he come to know what is good or what is bad for the human being? He will not know because he's very pure. So therefore, to know what is good and bad for the human being, according to other religions, God Almighty took the form of a human being to know what is good or bad for the human being. To know how it feels when a person is hurt. To know how it feels when a person is happy. In order to know what is good and bad for the human being, God Almighty, who is very pure, he takes the form of human being. It's known as theory of anthropomorphism. On the face of it, it sounds very logical. But I want to ask a question. Let's suppose I invent a tape recorder. Do I have to become a tape recorder to know what is good and what is bad for the tape recorder? Since I am the creator of the tape recorder, I need not become a tape recorder to know what is good or what is bad for the tape recorder. What do? I write an instruction manual. I write an instruction manual that if you want to play the cassette, put in the cassette and press the play button. If you want to stop, press the stop button. If you want to fast forward, press the FF button. Don't drop it from a height, it will get damaged. Don't immerse it in the water, it will get spoiled. I have to write an instruction manual. Similarly, God Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not have to take the form of a human being. He chooses a man amongst men to deliver his message, which we Muslims call as messengers, as Rasul, a Nabi, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chooses a man out of men to do the job. And if you allow me to call the human being the machine, I would say it is the most complicated machine present on the face of the earth. The more complicated the machine, the more requirement of an instruction manual. Which is the instruction manual for the human being? The instruction manual is the Holy Quran. The do's and don'ts for the human beings is mentioned in the Holy Quran. This is the instruction manual for the human being. The Muslims believe that there were several revelations which were revealed. But the last and final revelation is the Holy Quran. There were several messengers that came before, but the last and final messenger is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to believe in the last and final prophet and the last and final revelation, that is the Holy Quran. This is the instruction manual for the human being, the do's and don'ts. There are some people who argue that why can't God take human form? See, God can do everything. So why can't he take human form? I tell these people, I agree that God can take human form. But the moment he takes a human form, he ceases to be God Almighty. The moment he takes a human form, he no longer remains God Almighty. You know why? Because the definition of God Almighty and human being are opposite. The qualities of Almighty God and human being is different. Almighty God is immortal. Human beings are mortal. You can't have an immortal, mortal person. It's not possible. God Almighty has got no beginning, no end. Human beings have a beginning and an end. You can't have a person who has no beginning and has a beginning. It's not possible. You can't have a person who has an end and has no end. It's opposite. Therefore, if God Almighty takes the form of human being, he can take, but he will not take. Because the moment he takes the form of a human being, he ceases to be Almighty God. He no longer remains Almighty God. And if you analyze, there are certain qualities of human beings and qualities of Almighty God. For example, human beings, they require to eat. God Almighty does not require to eat. The Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter 6, verse number 14, shall I take for anyone a protector besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who feeds everyone but does not require to be fed? The human beings, they require sleep, they require rest. God Almighty does not require rest. Quran says in Ayat al-Kursi, Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse number 255, Allahu la ilaha al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhu sinatan wa la nawm, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no slumber can seize him, nor does he require rest. Therefore, you cannot have a God-man. You can either have God, or you can have a man. You can't have God-man because it is exactly opposite. And the moment God Almighty takes the form of a human being, he will not take. But if he takes, he no longer remains God Almighty. He cannot later on again become God Almighty. If he can become, then even you and I can become. No human being can become God Almighty. If you say, God Almighty took the form of human being, I can agree with you, he can become a human being. But later on you say he again became God Almighty, that's not logical. Because if a human being can become God Almighty, then even you and I can become God Almighty. And suppose I believe and worship Almighty God, who has all these qualities, who is the creator of everything, is omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, etc. But the moment he loses his quality and becomes a human being, I no longer require to worship him. Similarly, for example, if I respect a teacher who is very knowledgeable and I am the student of the teacher who is expert in teaching, maybe a particular subject, say for example science, expert. Later on, he has an accident and he has amnesia. He loses his memory. And I again be the student of the same teacher? No, because he has lost his qualities. The moment he loses the qualities which he has, the knowledge of science. No longer can I be a student. I can say that he was a pious person. I can say he's a respectable person. But no longer can I be his student. Why? Because now he has lost his knowledge. The qualities for which I was his student, he no longer has those qualities. Therefore, in Islam, God Almighty will not take human form. The moment he takes human form, he ceases to be Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some people who say, let's see, God Almighty can be called by various names. I do agree with them. The Quran says the same. Quran says in Surah Isra, chapter 17, verse number 110, it says, Qulidullah Abidur Rahman, Ayyakma Tadu, Falaul Asmaul Hasna. Say, call upon him by Allah, or call upon him by Rahman. By whichever name you call upon him, to him belongs the most beautiful name. So the Holy Quran says, you can call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any name, but it should be a beautiful name. It should not conjure up a mental picture. And the Holy Quran gives no less than 99 different attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 99 different attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahman, Rahim, Jabbar, Al-Kareem, Al-Quddus, Khalik, several, merciful, most gracious, the creator. No less than 99 different attributes. You can call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any name. Allah is Rahman. Allah is Rahim. Allah is Khalik. These are the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you single out the attributes and you say that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have got no objection. But if you single out an attribute and give each attribute a different definition, give each attribute a different form, then we take strong exception to that. Let me give an example. Suppose someone describes me, that Dr. Zakir Naik, he is the president of the Islamic Research Foundation. He is the chairman of the IRF Educational Trust. He is the president of the Islamic Dimension. He is the husband of Mrs. Farah Zakir Naik. He is the father of Farik Zakir Naik. All these are different attributes or different types of definition of Dr. Zakir Naik. So if you say he is the president of Islamic Foundation, it's a correct definition. Dr. Zakir Naik is the chairman of IRF Educational Trust, it's a correct definition. But if you pick up each definition, each attribute, and give it a different form. For example, Dr. Zakir Naik, his height is about 5 feet 11 inches. My height is 5 feet 11 inches. I am wheatish in complexion. I wear spectacles. I am thin. But now you tell me that the president of Islamic Research Foundation is Zakir Naik, who is 4.5 feet. The attribute is correct. Dr. Zakir Naik is the president of Islamic Research Foundation. But the moment you give it a different form, instead of 5 feet 11 inches, you say that he's 4.5 feet, then Dr. Zakir Naik is the president of Islamic Research Foundation, but he is not 4.5 feet. If you say Dr. Zakir Naik is the husband of Mrs. Farah Zakir Naik, and he is a fat person, he does not wear specs. Dr. Zakir Naik is the husband of Mrs. Farah Naik, but he is not fat. So you can give attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to Almighty God, but don't give a different form. If you say that Dr. Zakir Naik is only the president of Islamic Research Foundation and nothing else, then the definition is wrong. Because while I am the president of Islamic Research Foundation, I am also the husband of my wife, Mrs. Farah Zakir Naik. I am also the father of my son, Farik Zakir Naik. So you can't single out one attribute and say, this attribute alone is God Almighty. All put together is Dr. Zakir Naik. Similarly, when you're describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can very well say He's Rabb, He's Rahman, He's Rahim. But if you say that Rabb is a different Allah, and Rahman is a different Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Halik is a different Allah, then that is not the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam. All put together itself is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what major religions make mistakes. They pick up one attribute and they call him a different God. They pick up another attribute, give it a different form and call it another God. In Islam, all these attributes put together is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't single out one attribute and say, this alone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Swamiji rightly said, that if you call water in Urdu or Hindi Pani, it's the same. You can call water in Arabic as Mai, in the South Indian languages as Pani. It remains the same. You can call water by any name, it remains water. Water can be called as Mai in Arabic, as Pani in Hindi, it can be called as Pani in the South Indian language. It remains the same. But suppose someone tells me that water and Pani is same. And if I ask him that what is the definition of water, so he starts describing me that water is actually, Pani is the same as water. Pani is a mixture of water to which tea leaves have been added, to which little bit sugar has been added, little bit milk has added. What he is describing is actually a cup of tea. He is not describing water. Water and Pani is the same thing in different languages. But the moment you say that Pani means something which has got milk, has got tea leaves, has got sugar and added water, it is no longer water. The word is correct. The attribute is correct. But the definition is wrong. You can give various attributes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it should not conjure up a mental picture. The moment you give an attribute to God Almighty and have a different picture, we Muslims don't have any mental picture for Rahman or Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no form. The moment a human being starts giving a different mental picture to different attributes of God Almighty, that is where he falters and deviates away from the correct concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, the Holy Quran says in several places, besides saying in Surah Isra chapter 17 verse 110, Quridullah Abidur Rahman Ayyama Tad'u Falaul Asnaul Husna. Say call upon him by Allah or by Rahman, by whichever name you call upon him, to him belongs the most beautiful name. You can call him by any name, but it should be a beautiful name. The same message repeated in Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse number 180. In Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 8. In Surah Al-Hashr, chapter number 59, verse number 24, that to Allah belongs the most beautiful name. But still, we Muslims, we prefer calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the Arabic name Allah instead of the English word God. You know why? Because the English word God, it can be played around with. You can play mischief with the English word God, which you cannot do with the Arabic word Allah. If you add an S to God, it becomes God, plural of God. There is nothing like plural Allah. Kul huwallahu ahad. Say He is Allah one and only. If you add a D-E-S-S to God, it becomes Goddess, a female God. There is nothing like male Allah or female Allah in Islam. Allah is unique. Allah has got no gender. If you add a father to God, it becomes Godfather. He is my Godfather. He is my guardian. There is nothing like Allah Abba or Allah Father in Islam. If you add a mother to God, it becomes Godmother. There is nothing like Allah Mother or Allah Ammi in Islam. Allah is a unique word. If you prefix a sin before God, it becomes sin God, a fake God. There is nothing like sin Allah in Islam. That's the reason we Muslims, we prefer calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the Arabic name Allah instead of the English word God. I would like to end my talk by quoting a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah An'am, chapter 6, verse number 108, which says, revile not those people who worship God besides Allah. Abuse not those people who worship God besides Allah. Lest in their ignorance, they will abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.